On today's Tea with the Changemakers, we're speaking to Anna Earle, a former police detective turned nutritional therapist. We think Anna embodies what it is to be a changemaker, as she's focusing her efforts on ensuring the dietary well-being of shift workers through her own company, Nutrivival. So Anna, welcome to Tea with the Changemakers. We're delighted to have you on this week's show. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, so who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here today. So my name is Anna Earle. I'm a registered nutritional therapist, and I've been qualified for just over a year now. I did a 3.5 year nutritional therapy diploma and graduated last year and have set up my business Nutrivival, which has been going for exactly 1 year.
Wonderful. So what made you set up this company? Can you give us a little bit about your background? Because I have some fascinating notes here to say that actually you started or have spent some time in your career in the police force. Is that right?
I did, yes. So I was a police officer for 10 years with Essex Police. I started off in uniform on shift, and I then progressed to plain clothes on major investigations, so fondly known as the Murder Squad, and worked with in Essex for 10 years. So during that time, I had a few sort of minor health issues, and probably more importantly, I witnessed some quite chronic health issues amongst my maybe slightly older police colleagues. Never really linked lifestyle with those health issues at the time. But once I started studying the nutritional therapy course, I started to feel like a bit of a penny was dropping, linking probably dietary factors and lifestyle with that shift work. And that got me really interested in researching that kind of aspect of health.
Now, I was quite fortunate recently to join the police force and do an overnight shift with them. And of course, that was a long 10-hour maybe even 12, I can't remember. It was a very long shift with the force. And it got to about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And if you hadn't prepped and prepared and brought something along with you that would be considered healthy or nutritious, then you were kind of stuck with the burger bars and the kebab places whilst on your shift. And having talked to them, you know, quite extensively about it, it's a normal thing, isn't it, to be getting that kebab at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning when you're on shift. So can you talk to me a little bit about your experience as being a shift worker, what the environment was for you in terms of healthy eating or eating, and then what you are yourself trying to do to help shift workers to rethink their diet, especially when working on shifts or night patterns?
Yeah, it's exactly as you've said, Kelly. It's just a lifestyle of fast food and junk food and eating it as quickly as you can between jobs. Quite often balancing a bag of chips on your lap whilst you're being thrown around in the car on the way to your next blue light job, because you're just aware of this list of jobs that are stacking up for you, and you know, with potentially great repercussions if you don't get there quickly. And it would be the same with the ambulance service. You know, they haven't got the luxury of pulling over for half an hour to sit and have something, you know, nice and nutritious and eat that nice and slowly, so to please their digestive systems, because you've got people that are, you know, needing life support. So it's a real challenge. And yeah, I think for most of the uniform career, it was a case of go and grab something, whatever place could be open in the early hours of the morning, or a service station, and pick up a packet of donuts or something. Some of my colleagues that were reaching retirement, they were taking a whole cocktail of medications to combat various different conditions and the side effects from various different medications, and were really not retiring well, a number of them at all. You know, there would be type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure and heart problems and weight management issues, as well as mental health problems as well. And I think perhaps the police are getting better at looking at the mental health side of things. But I've realised that if you're, whatever great mental health interventions you can provide, if that person is still eating junk and, you know, not getting the right fuel into their body to support their neurological function as well, it's not going to be as effective as if you've managed to do the two hand in hand. And so it makes much more sense to me that if you give some fairly basic nutrition education to people working shifts so that they understand the biological processes of what's happening when they make certain food choices, that giving an alternative and explaining why and what that's doing can just be so effective. And that's what I find so frustrating, that it feels like it's a travesty that emergency service workers, key workers working around the clock, either providing food on our shelves or providing emergency support, whatever it is, aren't aware that some of the choices they make with their food impacts their long-term health. And it just feels wrong that can be prevented quite easily.
So a lot of people, including the majority of our key workers, work shifts. And it sounds like you've identified some real health-related challenges with that work pattern. What advice would you give to someone listening who is a shift worker, either in the day or at night?
So I would get them to really start to prioritise their self-care, because, if there's nobody else that's going to really start investing in their own health. So even though they are very time poor and juggling a whole host of things with, and sometimes not even prioritising sleep, they do need to reprioritise and think about their self-care and rebalancing nutrition with sleep and with stress management and with getting some exercise, because that's how they're going to live well. And finding time to do some meal planning, so that you take the stress away from what are you going to have on a daily basis. So maybe plan even just 4 or 5 days of the week, particularly if you're going to be doing night shift, just spend half an hour. There are some really great apps that can help you to do it, if that's your thing. Or just sit down with a cookery book and meal plan a little bit, and then try and do a bit of batch cooking on your days off, so that you can freeze portions of healthier food to take with you. And really, it's starting to educate yourself about balancing your blood sugar, because if you're having a lot of very carb heavy food, particularly through the night, the body's just not designed to digest that properly. You're going to be spiking your blood sugar. You're going to then cause your body to demand a lot more insulin. And doing that on a regular basis is what can make you a much higher risk of going towards type 2 diabetes.
Do you think employers have a responsibility and duty to ensure the health and well-being of their employees, particularly around nutrition and healthy eating? As you mentioned, they are doing a lot more now around mental health first aid. But what, you know, do you think employers are doing enough? And if they're not, what should they be doing? What should they be looking at?
I think that perhaps over the last 2 years with the pandemic, I think that well-being has gained more of a spotlight for organisations. And I think the word well-being is quite a buzzword at the moment, with organisations particularly needing to invest in the mental health impact for many people, unexpectedly finding themselves working from home and so on. But I'm still not sure that many organisations are aware of the links between diet and mood, and how getting that right nutrient balance every day can be so effective for their staff. And yet it's something that is really not that difficult to get right, just with the right information and tools. I think it makes sense to be investing if you're looking at staff retention and you're looking at reducing sickness, really pushing the nutrition side of things is really helpful. But it's challenging, particularly in an organisation where you've got a 24/7 environment, because you can't just provide a training day on a particular day, because you'll obviously have staff working or sleeping at that time. So it needs that flexibility of material. And I hope that organisations won't just maybe provide a webinar that then just serves the purpose of ticking a box to say, yes, we've done that. I just think it needs support from occupational health and from line managers to all be on board to create an environment where healthy eating and supporting each other becomes a cultural norm, rather than somebody feeling that they're standing out because they've brought a really healthy chunky vegetable soup rather than having pizza with the rest of the shift, for example.
So we talked about what employers can and maybe should be doing to make the workplace healthier for their staff. And we've also touched on what shift workers can do to help themselves. But what can policymakers and leaders do to help change the places and the spaces that we all live and work to create healthier environments?
Yes, you're right. It's absolutely a case of looking at sort of challenging the environment that we live in. Because if you look at many communities that maybe aren't the most affluent communities around us, that you will walk down the street and you will just walk past a whole host of cheap fast food outlets where you can buy some fried chicken and some chips for, you know, £2 or £3. So how do you incentivize somebody to walk past that and to go onto a fruit and veg outlet where they're going to have to chop and peel and boil and, you know, it's much more effort.
That's really interesting, Anna, because at Social Change, we've recently undertaken some research which showed that if you live in a less affluent area in the UK, then you are likely to have around 5 times more takeaways and fast food outlets than you are if you lived in a more affluent area. And that for me is really shocking because, you know, we do need an environment that is going to support people to make healthier choices, to live a more healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have more takeaways, more fast food outlets around you, then that temptation is going to be hard to resist.
It's really down to how do we get that knowledge out to those people. So from a police service point of view, I would love to have an input on the recruitment program where recruits are starting out often in their early 20s start sowing the seed at that point. I'm sure that even in schools we could do a bit more with healthy eating as well, and look at some of the choices in some of the school canteens even. Where vegetables and fruit are optional, but most plates are just sort of extremely carbohydrate heavy. And you see that from the behaviour of children in the afternoon, where they will have a great big spike of energy and then slump because their blood sugar's gone through the roof and then it dives down again. So if we, you know, really need to be looking at balancing that blood sugar, it's absolutely key to energising people more consistently. And that really does help to reduce the risk of chronic disease later on in life as well. So it's working out as policymakers or as communities, how do we educate people to understand that those long-term health benefits rather than just that short-term tasty, crunchy treat or snack or the easy option, the cheap option.
Yeah, absolutely. How do we get people to fall in love with healthy eating and nutrition, really thinking about what goes into our body? Mm-hmm. It's the fuel that keeps us going every day. And there's so many links, as you said, to chronic disease, to long-term health conditions, to perhaps even, you know, the way you feel, like you said, at the end of the day, your productivity curve goes down at the end of the day. And if you're filling yourself up with carbohydrates, caffeine and lots of sugar in the afternoon, then that's a reason why you're feeling as you do by the time you get to 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm just talking about those who are working 9 to 5. I can't imagine, yeah. You know, with the sleep deprivation of people working in the evenings as well. It's really, really important topic.
Mm-hmm.
So Anna, are there any upcoming projects that we should know about you'd like to tell our listeners about?
So I'm excited that I have made some contacts with Surrey Police, which is not far from where I live. So I'm giving a talk to a number of officers about perimenopause, which is a period that I wasn't really familiar with before I started studying nutritional therapy. But this is a life phase that can affect women for up to 10 years prior to reaching menopause, and can be really confusing because it can be... it can include a whole host of different symptoms and behaviour changes. But there are ways that you can naturally put yourself in a stronger position health-wise to support your way through that life phase. And so I'm giving a talk to the women with Surrey about that. And that will include a number of shift workers. And that's to promote a programme called It Makes Sense, where the word sense stands for stress management, exercise, nutrition, sleep and emotional well-being. And we look at how you, if you rebalance each of those health areas, and look at some behavior change models that make some of those tweaks as easy and small as possible, It can help people to find their optimal health.
Excellent. Well, I wish you all the best with those workshops, Anna. And for a business that's just over a year old, you've done and achieved an awful lot in that time. And I'm fascinated to see how your business grows over the coming months and years. But I've just got one more question left, which is quite a big one. How do you take your tea?
How do I take my tea? So first thing in the morning, before I do anything at all, has to be English breakfast tea, strong but milky. And then my afternoon cuppa will be either a green tea, or it'll be a delicious pucker cleanse, which is a combination of fennel, mint and nettle.
Wonderful. And coming from a nutritionist, I would say that that's probably good advice that we start drinking different kinds of flavoured teas in the afternoon. So cut back on that caffeine and that English builder's tea, as we call it sometimes in our office.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Anna, for joining us today. We look forward, as I said, to seeing you again, and good luck on your journey.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
If you're a shift worker working days or nights and you're interested in what Anna has been discussing on today's show, then head over to her website, which is nutrivival.co.uk, to find a whole host of services and resources that could help you to live a healthier and more fulfilled life. And check out our show notes for links to Anna's socials.